I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tools Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with two of the tools today. We got Nasty Nate Parker.
How do you do, fellas? How do you do?
I'm doing all right, doing all right. I have a faulty vaccine in my body and a barking dog outside my window for the past 3 hours, so things are getting a little intense over here.
Hey, man. It's intense.
Yeah, you know. Hopefully I don't clot out. Brandon, Coach Lundberg, how you doing, man?
Hey, look, man, take some aspirin. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not giving doctorly recommendations, if that's how I should say it. But, yeah, aspirin, man. Thin out that blood. Quit eating that. You're eating a donut. Don't eat that donut and take some aspirin.
Well, you know who also needs to eat less donuts? Andy Reid. Andy Reid's son. He's in the news because Super Bowl weekend, he got a DUI, and he crashed his car and gave a little girl brain damage. And, man, Andy Reid's sons have really racked up that rep. Like, you really felt for the guy after the death of his first son.
Yeah.
With the heroin overdose. That was a tragedy. But now we see another form of substance abuse. This time hurting other people. Like, don't get me started with Andy and the cheeseburgers. There's some trauma there.
Dude, I mean, when you read the prosecutor's office, you know, what they're reporting or whatever, that the guy was driving 84 miles per hour. I mean, literally near Arrowhead Stadium. I know Nate, before the show, when we were conversating about this, brought up the whole, you know, I believe this was, you know, something that involved work when he was driving as well. So there's all that going on at the same time. His blood alcohol level was well above, you know, the what's considered to be intoxicated, above the legal limit of what is it, 0.08 or whatever in Missouri. But he definitely should not have been driving. And again, we need to let people know that anytime you feel like you need to drink, give your keys to somebody just in case. Like, this is definitely something you should not do ever for any reason, even if you feel okay to do it, right?
Yeah, people are going to bring up statistics and whatnot, but the fact is it's a little girl who's going to be brain damaged
I mean,
the rest of her life, you know?
Think about, like, the ramifications in that family. But again, like, this dude's being charged with, like, what is it again? He's getting, what, a felony?
Just a DWI. Just a DWI.
Is it DW or DUI? Because those are different.
I thought I read DW.
Yeah, see, some states are different, though. Nate, I didn't actually look at that because I was looking at some of the laws or whatever.
Well,
just kind of.
DWI, I think, is what you get when drugs are involved. So maybe it's painkillers in the system.
It's basically he was
it's not
he
like
was
the
charged,
NFL
he was
passes
charged
out with, painkillers, you know?
Yeah. He was driving. He was essentially charged with driving while impaired.
Yeah.
Which is so DWI and DUI are essentially the same thing in Missouri. But in some states, you are right, it is different. I do find it interesting that he's not being charged with gross negligence for injuring that little girl, but
they'll be civil.
It's interesting. It's interesting because they're going to get charged. Like he had money, so therefore that's why he's not getting charged that way.
Yeah, that's another point too, Woody. Like, you know, the average person out there can't fight the case, right? You know, like, so 9 times out of 10 they're gonna get like a deal. Even before, because like DAs and prosecutors, they go into court cases or battles and they know their opponent. It's like they scout the opponent, so to speak. So they know that the defense attorney, if they know that the defense attorney is really good and going to work a plea, they're probably going to start this whole thing off with a lesser charge to begin with, just to try to assure. So I could see, I don't know if this could be pled down even more or what the case is going to be with this situation or whatnot. I do know that he will probably face some jail jail time with this charge. I think there might be like a mandatory minimum of some sort. It's considered a felony charge, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yeah. Well, you know, condolences to the little girl's family. It's just a shame that we're going to hear a lot about him and not about her probably in the next coming months. So, and the worst part is, after all this is over, I imagine there's a job waiting for him.
Yeah, you know what? And I would hate to see another person like this. People like this getting a second opportunity like this drives me nuts, man, because there's people out there that deserve a shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many good people out there, coaches and people who can be on your staff from all levels within an organization that get passed on, including minorities. Is it, you know, that you lump that in there with that and you look at it overall, and then a guy like this gets as many opportunities as he gets, and then other people get passed over. Drives me nuts. And I say this, CJ, all the time, you know, nepotism drives me nuts, right? Like, unless someone is really, really awesome at their job, or they really, truly earned it, and there's like something out there, like, you know, athletes who earn an opportunity because they're dad, you know, like, I don't look at that and say, well, that kid only earned it because they're dad. I look at what the kid can do. Like, if there's evidence that the kid is really awesome, that's great. I don't know how good of an employee Andy Reid's son is, but is he worth having that kind of like negligent activity going on that's going to potentially cost you your own job down the line? So, rant over, but that's my point.
Yeah, we've seen him run rampant in the NFL, and the only person you really can't argue it for is Kyle Shanahan.
I used to remember Flat Bill. What do I call Flat Bill nepotism or whatever? Like,
and apparently Norv Turner's son is nice too. That's what I've been hearing, but we'll see.
Hey, there's another dude's son out there, Charlie Weiss's son.
Is he?
He's OC Weiss. In
college.
Hey, Charlie Weiss was good in the first year of every single place that he went. So
I think it's great.
He wasn't good in the first year at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, his first year at Notre Dame was solid.
Didn't they go to the championship with Brady Quinn?
No. I don't remember that. I think they still lost a couple games and maybe got into a BCS game. But
yeah, they played LSU.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was. It wasn't like a national title game, though.
It was one of the big ones, I remember. Yeah. But yeah, that man, he was thick. He was a thick boy.
Yeah.
Sure. In more sad news, Julian Edelman, the Patriots legend. I mean, just going through my own scanning of all my NFL memories of the past 15 years, I can just remember that little dude making big catch after big catch after big catch and big moments. And, I mean, one of the greatest postseason wide receivers of all time. Brandon, you had some stats about his postseason?
Yeah, so the conversation has been, is, you know, Julian Edelman worthy of, you know, being considered a Hall of Famer? So, you know, I looked it up, and from CBS Boston Local, they, you know, they posted a stat that I remember from playoff years that they would talk about when this conversation would arise, at least recently anyway. But Jerry Rice, for example, he is second to Jerry Rice in most playoff receptions of all time with 118. And he also has most playoff receiving yards of all time, second to none other than Jerry Rice with 1,442. So if you're looking at, you know, his, what he's able to do from a playoff perspective when the lights are shining the brightest, I think you could consider him a Hall of Famer.
I'm a fan of the retirement videos. The guys sitting on the field, like, just, you know, giving their last little howdy-do to the field. Nate, you think...
Tugs at the heartstrings.
You think Edelman might come back? I mean, he's still under contract with the Patriots, right? No, they cut his contract.
They released him.
He's not coming back. He's not. He's done. He did the whole video with the turtleneck and the gold chain.
Junior Seau was done. He came back, played for the Patriots twice during the playoff runs, never won a Super Bowl. And I think if Tom gave Edelman a call and was like, hey, Jules.
They're kicking the tires right now.
And he's having that conversation right now. He's starting it right now just to be like, hey, just in case, like, maybe stay in shape. You want to come down to Tampa, throw a couple balls. Like, let's stay connected, because
yeah,
you know, it would be really
Antonio
awesome.
Antonio means having... nothing to me, Julian. Yeah. I swear. No.
I honestly think Julian Edelman's completely okay with Antonio Brown being there, because you know what that means? He doesn't have to work as hard. He's literally there as a safety blanket for Tom.
Yeah, I would be surprised, but who knows, man? Everyone wants to play with Tom Brady nowadays. Look at this squad. Everyone ran it back. It's just Tampa Tom. It's infectious. Yeah. And, well, speaking of the Bucs, Gio Bernard, he just
there,
signed.
That's the safety blanket right there. They found Tom a binky.
I think people are really sleeping on this signing because of what he can do out of the backfield with a competent quarterback. Gio Bernard's been the best backup in the league for, what, 5 years? Oh, 6 years?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, last year, yeah. I mean, he stepped in admirably, too. And he's not great in the run game, but he's adequate.
He backed up Rudy Johnson. No, it was right after Rudy Johnson, right? And then who was the power back that they had that bounced around the league after he busted up his knee and he was never the same?
I cannot think off the top of my head.
Yeah, he had a couple 10 touchdown seasons. And then they brought in Burrow, and he's been filling in for Burrow whenever he gets hurt. I mean, the guy, he's got second level speed. He's a scat back, the definition of a scat back. He's not going to run anybody over. But
he brings the James White element.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I'm really, and that's a dangerous thing to give Tom.
Yep. That's what he didn't have last year. I mean, we joked around about like Fournette being adequate as a receiver, but like he's not what Tom likes. You know what I mean? Like a good route runner out of the backfield, something like that. Like James White was the ultimate to me. Like he just kind of redefined it, especially in that we witnessed that in the Super Bowl against the Falcons, but when White probably should have been MVP of that game, by the way, but nevertheless, yeah, he's got his binky and it's definitely what they needed. And I even alluded to maybe the Patriots drafting a guy like that, but they were able to get somebody who's already seasoned and ready to go.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, this is a veteran team. I don't think this squad is looking at it as we have time to sit around and develop some young guys. Like we're in a win now mindset, and maybe some guys we can draft can sit on the bench, but they're not going to go out and sign any.
I'm like, just mind blown. I'm mind blown by how much talent they actually have, man. I mean, this is like,
it's one of the deepest rosters we've ever seen in NFL history.
I mean, if they literally should be favored in every game. Period. Yeah.
They should. And literally, it's a race against time, which time has been losing now for, let's say, like 7 years.
You're right.
I'm still cheering for more. Like, come on.
Dude,
every time
since Deflategate, like, look at this. If you look at the history, like, since Deflategate, like, Tom is beating time. And, you know, since Deflategate is also the same season where Max Kellerman told everyone that Tom Brady was falling off a cliff.
Listen, man, Tom Brady is the San Antonio Spurs of the NFL. We've been waiting for the San Antonio Spurs to just bottom out finally and be the trash franchise they were. And they haven't.
No, here's the thing.
They're still going.
But it's different.
They're still in playoff contention this year with, I can name six dudes on their team, and I can name pretty much every other roster in the NBA.
It's different, though. It's because the difference is that Tom is Greg Popovich. He keeps any franchise he goes to viable.
Yeah. Well, he's only been to one other one, Nate. Are you alluding to the fact he's heading somewhere else after he's done? Do you know something we don't know, Nate?
No.
Could you imagine a 50-year-old Tom down the line?
He's only got one year. This is his last year on his contract.
A one-year extension. I know that, but I think that they are trying to work.
They just restructured it. They just restructured
added another year.
Oh, did they?
I still bring up the fact that I'm so afraid for him when that young 22-year-old 280-pound defensive end here, dude. It's gonna happen. You can't.
Woody was like predicting the time. The stars have aligned where this former Ohio State player is going to look like a Lawrence Taylor type, and it happened, right? I thought like there's some thoughts to that, and it didn't happen. Chase Young did not get to Tom.
He's had enough time during this like age period where I've gone from hating him, rooting for him, hating him again, rooting for him again, hating him again, and now I'm rooting for him again.
Because he's played that many. Think about this. Man, I heard this, and I cannot remember who said it, but he's played like three careers already. You look at it, you can take all of, you can segment his time as a player into several, like three different careers.
Well,
he could be a three-time Hall of Famer for one player.
One analyst put it perfectly. He said that the first Patriots group of Super Bowls and the second one with Gronkowski and that crew, those are two separate dynasties.
Yeah.
And this would be a third if they win two Super Bowls in a row. He could be a part of three separate Super Bowl dynasties in one career. It's unheard of. No one will ever match
that. All right. If we talk about GOATs, we talk about, and this isn't on the outline, so we'll keep it short. If Tom Brady runs it back and they win this year, they take a Super Bowl home in 2022. He's hosting the Lombardi Trophy with a Super Bowl MVP. Is anyone ever going to catch him? Even Mahomes?
No.
Like with two separate franchises, he would officially become the only quarterback in history to ever win back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah,
ever.
And then
to do it with two separate franchises, and I think that would also separate him officially from Belichick.
It separates him from Montana too.
I mean, he's separated from Montana just by having nearly double the, like, does he have double the rings now?
No. Montana had four.
All right.
Montana has four, and Brady's got seven.
He does have seven now. That's
insane. Right? Like,
all right. We've blown Tom Brady enough this episode. Let's
it was short.
Thad Moss, quickly. You know, Randy Moss, one of the most beloved players of all time. His son, tight end for LSU. He went to sign with Washington as an undrafted free agent, correct? Or was he like a late round pick? I think he might have been an undrafted free agent. He showed some mossings in college. He could go up and get the ball just like his daddy. He's a little thicker. He's playing the tight end position. But we do see who needs a tight end. The Bengals bringing in Thad Moss, the young, him and Joe Burrow had a connection in college. Do we see anything there? Maybe Thad Moss gets on the field, makes his daddy proud, or was this just, you know, because of the name we're talking about?
I feel like he's got a shot. I mean, competitively in Cincinnati with who they already have on the roster, I think that he'll get a look and an opportunity. So, I mean, it all comes down to his physical abilities right now, you know.
If they trade for Ja'Marr Chase, draft Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's a foregone conclusion. Like at this point, the way things are aligned.
I mean, why not get Burrow his number one guy? You know, it makes sense.
No, I like
they already have the connection. And you watch, they get him. Justin Jefferson comes running right after he gets out of that rookie contract, getting the band back together.
The Bengals would be unbelievable.
All right. And then a quick one before we get to the teams. Sean Payton movie. He's being played by Kevin James.
Yeah, I saw you. Nope, I didn't see that yet. I know you had sent something yesterday. I don't know if you sent it. Did you send a trailer or something?
I don't know if there's a trailer, but there's a look of him in like his football coach outfit. Are we watching this? Are they going to explore the intricacies of Deflategate? What happened behind the scenes?
Oh, it's a Netflix movie, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. You probably said that and I didn't hear you. That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I think you mean
Bounty Gate. Deflategate was the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Bounty Gate. Too many gates.
I 100% agree with that statement right there.
Gates.
Can we just stop having gates?
Yeah, vaccine gates. Gate. Not a fan. Hoping I live.
There's another one on the way.
Yeah.
There will be, Woody. I'm telling you that right now.
Oh, I know. I don't want to think about
it. Not for you, though. Like, you're going to survive.
I hope so. Let's talk about the Houston Texans. Someone who wishes they got the vaccine to put them out of their misery. So, Deshaun Watson, that's happening. Still a thing. We're up to 22. It's not looking great. They just ruled that he, the defendant's victim, you want to say alleged victims and then you just feel bad. So you don't want to say alleged victims. They have to be named. And so he will know who is pointing. And then also his one of his main masseuses in the last his career has come out and said he's never been inappropriate with her. It's always weird when there's one person against, you know, a massive amount of people. Then you have other NFL players coming out and saying, why does this dude have so many masseuses? This is weird. Like, the NFL will get you people that will work on your... So that's, there's definitely a weird...
That's exactly my point. I was about to say that. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a weird dynamic. There's definitely seems like there was some adult undertones to this this thing, you know?
It's hard to refute. It's hard. It's in this day and age, it is hard to refute one or two. When you've got 22, it is... And then you're a professional athlete where the team and their facilities will provide you with the level of care that you need without having to go out and go to like backroom massage parlors, from what it sounds like.
I mean, recruiting medical people on Instagram is always solid.
I mean, if we're being serious about that, though, I mean, look at Bob Kraft, you know, I mean, more money than all of them, right?
Oh, yeah, but we know Bob Kraft was guilty.
Yeah. No, I know, but he's out there going to the shopping center massage parlor.
Is anyone surprised that like a creepy old dude is going to a massage parlor? Like, you know what I mean? The reason why this is a big deal, I think people are so surprised, is because Deshaun Watson was Captain Positivity, Captain Team Guy. When he came out of school, he was a leader of men. He was a young champion. And it's the ones, I think it's the same thing with the Cosby effect, man. It's when you have someone who's been elevated to this perch of they're looked at with respect. It is very hard for people to watch them fall. And once the fall begins, they're fascinated by it because as humans, we're terrible people and we become obsessed with watching greatness fall.
And then we love to watch it come back, like Tiger Woods, right?
Oh yeah, God, we're 100%.
Then we start tearing up, like he did it.
I mean, I've always, even when Tiger was a total like all that fallout, I've always been a Tiger Woods fan. When he made it back,
it was a magical moment, man.
Like, if he makes it back this time, I'm gonna be real amazed.
Tiger Woods, when he won the Masters 2 years ago. That is by far one.
Did I ever tell you my dad's Tiger Woods story about that Masters? Or no, it was the U.S. Open. It was right before he won that U.S. Open.
With basically a torn ACL.
Yeah,
against Rocco Mediate.
So
triple overtime, basically.
My dad is playing golf down in Orange County, and it's like 2 weeks before the U.S. Open. The announcers are all saying at the U.S. Open, Tiger hasn't played a round of golf. He's just coming into this blind because of his injury. My dad, he's like, no, that's a lie. Because he was playing in the group behind him on the course.
Oh, that's funny.
Literally, as they're playing, like, my dad, the group in front of him. So Tiger is moving on as they get to the course and is backed up. So they get to watch Tiger play throughout the day. He said it was one of the coolest experiences of his life. He gets to a par three. So Tiger's walking up the green, right? My dad shoots. Tees off, sticks it 3 feet from the hole. Tiger turns around. He's like, nice shot. And then just keeps it moving. Then went on, won the U.S. Open with the knee.
That is awesome.
2 weeks later. Yeah. It was a really cool moment.
Your dad's telling that story to somebody else right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it is legitimately just a sad state right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Deshaun.
I honestly don't know. Like, I feel like the sponsors are cutting ties with him, and now the Texans are starting to do, like, they're removing him from like promotional videos and stuff like that. So we'll see. Yeah.
When the corporate sponsors go, that's when you need to start worrying, because they all have private investigators, all of them. And they're not going to drop someone. Like, literally, someone has looked into this and they know what's coming down the bend.
Oh yeah. They know a lot. more than we probably even.
Listen, I don't know if there's any validity to this, but I literally saw a blog post yesterday that said there is still one team that is interested, and it might be Carolina. So,
I know that.
They're gonna trade the, Sam Darnold. I mean,
he's from the Carolinas. Like he went to Clemson. Yeah. It just that would it, be it the one sense. Thing.
What I will sense. Say is if Carolina like it, Deshaun Watson does make Carolina better than Sam Darnold. You trade Sam Darnold in the what is it? They have the 8th pick.
Yeah, no, but I heard the Hall, they still want like 3 first-round picks. Good luck. With everything that's going on.
His value.
You should just settle. You should be like, just we'll take this year's first. You have to take
on liability of the
second
lawsuit.
And a third later.
yeah.
He's going to.
You can have him.
Man, I don't understand. If the Texans wanted to keep this man in-house so bad, this is your moment. Like, if it's really that important to you. You should be blindly out there like, this is my guy. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, they're not doing anything, which is kind of.
I mean, I don't blame them with what's kind of going on.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's the power dynamic, man. It's bad, bad, bad stuff.
I would let it play out. Like, I'm okay with the fact that we're seeing it play out a little bit. And we're not, like, people aren't, like, he hasn't been, like, suspended. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no.
The NFL is the only ones that can suspend Deshaun Watson other than the Texans. The Texans aren't going to do anything right now because he's their most valuable asset either on or off their team. So they're waiting. But the NFL is always going to wait for the criminal investigation to complete before they even start that.
Right, right.
I mean, look at what happened with Adrian Peterson. Like Kareem, you know what I mean? Adrian Peterson is the one that comes to mind. It was the poll. It was the that was the court of public opinion, more so than like the law.
Yeah, but Adrian Peterson was also charged and convicted of a crime in that circumstance, if I'm remembering correctly.
Was he? Was it child? I think he.
It was. I don't know if it was child. Yeah, I don't know if it like he. There was actual. There was actually like he was actually charged. Like Deshaun Watson is being investigated by the city of Houston, but they're not. No charges have been brought. So like I said, the NFL is going to wait for the criminal investigation and to see if charges will be brought. Because if charges aren't brought, the NFL can do two things. They can go look at it, do their own independent investigation, and then respond with hey. We've done our own independent investigation. This is a nothing burger. Moving on. Or they can come back and they can go, this is a, we take human trafficking and all of this very seriously. We are choosing to suspend Deshaun Watson for 8 games simply for having the appearance of having participated in this. And it'll go one of the two ways. There's like, if he gets cleared, he's going to get punished. If he gets charged, he's going to get punished. Like the NFL cannot handle any bad press at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, we said how many times have we said that though? The NFL can handle immense amounts of bad press because how many of their players beat their wives? How many of their players have been arrested on domestic violence?
We've watched the punishments come down with a heavy hand at this point. Roger Goodell and the NFL and the owners had to change their entire position. On the flag and kneeling for the
good
anthem.
Reason. For good reason.
Let me finish.
All right, go ahead.
And they did it. It was not like good reason or not. They did it because they were losing in the court of public opinion. The same thing with Ray Rice. The same thing with Kareem Hunt. The same thing with all of these guys that have been in the high profile players that have been in situations where. They have the appearance of not being on the up and up. Like, agree or disagree with the flag. Like, the thing is that the NFL said this is hurting our bottom line. We need to amend our stance on this.
The NFL. I do want to throw this fake, out there. Go ahead. Sorry.
The NFL is fake patriotism. Let's get this on record here. The U.S. military pays to sponsor the NFL. They didn't start doing the national anthem before the games till they were paid by the U.S. military to integrate U.S. military support into the NFL as awareness. This to pretend that this isn't anything but a bottom line for the NFL with green dollars, they're not in this for anyone else but themselves. That's and let's never pretend. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
That's literally what I said.
But I just wanted to get the point across. They are literally paying the NFL to be in on their side of this. So it's all a scam when it comes
like,
to that.
I don't want, again, we're a sports show. We don't need to dive too far into the politics. But I will say, like, on this topic, like, money is always going to win when it comes to the NFL. If you are hurting their bottom line, things are going to change. That is all there is. Brandon, go for it. I didn't mean to sidetrack us.
No, I was just going to talk about Peterson's suspension in 2014. Oh, yeah. I just want to throw it out there. He was just charged with a felony child abuse for using a switch. Obviously, we know that. And it was pled down to a misdemeanor reckless assault. So
the difference is he was charged. That is the main difference. Like, there was an investigation that completed and he was actually charged. If that happens Sean Watson, we're looking at a whole different conversation than just what's happening right now.
Yeah, well, we're still waiting to see if there's going to be a criminal investigation, which some of those accusations definitely would warranted. Seem like there would. Yeah. So the Texans, though, in response to maybe losing their quarterback, they got a gaggle of running backs. Gaggle's the right word, right? Probably not best word to use. Ingram and Lindsey and David Johnson. Big trust. Patrick Lindsey. So are they just going to run the hell out of the ball this year? And they went and got the young, not so young anymore, freshly punctured lung from the trainers in Los Angeles now, Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, my God.
It's the man, how many Band-Aids can you put on a leaky pipe?
I know, right?
Like, I love to see Tyrod Taylor get another shot somewhere. But
yeah, I feel like Taylor, like, he's the stopgap. Obviously, he's an they brought him in knowing what the future probably is going to be with Watson. Either they're going to have to trade him or he's not going to play. Right. So they had to have somebody who was adequate, and he's not like Taylor's not a bad player and by any means, but he's not even who he was when he was with Buffalo. And like, you know, in Buffalo, he had his best years, obviously. Right. So like, that's a long time ago, though. How many years ago was that? We're looking at like 6 years ago that he had his best year under Greg Roman. And in that Greg Roman, Lamar Jackson style offense, he threw for 3,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and he hasn't really been the same since 2015, 2016. So, yeah.
If
I don't know.
If Deshaun Watson doesn't play, and J.J. Watt leaving, and Will Fuller leaving, this is the worst team in the NFL. That says so much about what Deshaun Watson is as a player and what he brings to the table. Like, the fact that he could elevate them to, like, a mid-tier team just by him playing a quarterback. But this defense has no leader. You have no young stars. Your offensive line, you traded away your best offensive lineman. And then, well, no, you traded for a decent offensive lineman, Larry Tunsil. And you gave away, forfeited your draft future and turned the Dolphins into an absolute stacked powerhouse in the coming years. This is a burning chip. This is a trash fire. Like, it's not looking good. And the worst part is you can't even start a rebuild, like, unless you trade Deshaun. So, and how much value does he really hold as of right now? That's the question to ask. It's not looking great.
I'm wondering how long ago they tried to trade him, and maybe there was like a wait and see even before we started hearing what we started hearing. You know what I mean? So yeah. There might have been some back channel stuff going on maybe that really brought this to fruition. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Honestly, in this moment, call up the 49ers, call up the Atlanta Falcons. Like, if you're the Texans, like, the future of the next 5 years of your franchise is on the line right now. Like,
yeah, I think that they already did probably call a bunch of teams. You know what I'm saying?
If it was going to be anyone, it would be the Bears. The Bears are quarterback.
The Bears are desperate. That's true.
Yeah. The Bears are – they look at it as their quarterback away. And I kind of see it that way too.
Bill Belichick's just sitting there waiting on that big-time discount.
This is too much time spent on the what who's going to be the worst team in the league. The 0-16 is a major possibility here.
So yeah.
No, it is. It's there's no
if,
we can't.
If Deshaun Watson does not play, they do not have a defense. Every game they won last year was a close blowout. They let go of their best defensive player.
You're right, Woody.
I have such
a hard time getting on board that because I'm like I've watched.
Nate, you're a Lions fan. You can see the signs.
You know what?
No,
bad
I know. I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like. But it's remember terrible, the Browns team. You remember the Browns team? They went. They've only won.
I remember the Bengals one.
They went 31-1 but that last game, Phillip Rivers and the Chargers just couldn't stop Cody Kessler from scoring a touchdown on that final drive, and they eked out. I'm sitting there as a Lions fan just going, come on, we can't be the only ones. And then Phillip Rivers had to go and screw it up for me.
All right. But
like, it is so hard.
I know. I don't see the I see the Texans. If Deshaun Watson has to sit the year out, I see the Texans 0-16.
They don't even have a draft pick till the third round, by the way.
Yes, exactly. That's what I said. Miami. Miami's on the
So it's you better be damn good at you know what you're looking at. Especially there's some good talent in this draft. I think you can find some steals, but they better start on defense.
Honestly. Did Bill O'Brien move out of Texas? He better have moved out of Texas.
Yeah, he's at Alabama. Is he
the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, he's on that staff. It's like the Alabama's going to rehabilitate that guy. He'll be a head coach near you one day again.
Yeah, maybe go back to Penn State.
He'll be at USC before you know it. You never know.
All right, well, let's talk about the Tennessee Titans. They are on the tip of your tongue as a Super Bowl contender. Like, these guys are on the edge. They've been on the edge for a few years. But they did lose a few guys this offseason. Last year, they were in a neck-and-neck race with the Colts. The Colts were a better all-around team, but the Titans have the anchor in Derrick Henry, a once-in-a-generation player. This guy is an absolute freak. They relied on him. He gave us our first 2,000-yard rusher since Chris Johnson, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So we'll see that. We'll probably see a slew of all of 2,000-yard rushers once every couple of years now with that extra game. But we'll see about that. But the problem with the Titans last year was they went out and signed Jadeveon Clowney after letting Jarrell Casey go to the Denver Broncos. And they thought that he would solve their pass rushing problem. And that did not happen. They were last in the league in sacks. And they went out and they spent some big money on Steelers' second star, but he was a star pass rusher, amazing at causing strip fumbles, Bud Dupree, who was considered a bust early on in his career. And until the last 2 years, hadn't shown much, but he has shown a lot. The guy is an athletic freak. He was a combine sensation, and he turned that athleticism into a big old payday. Now, does he fit the Tennessee Titans scheme? Brandon, that's your wheelhouse. Tell us.
Yeah, he definitely does. I know the Titans defense, they went backwards in 2020 compared to even 2019. They were giving up the 24th highest QBR in the league last year. They were ranked last in sacks. So adding Bud Dupree is huge to line up opposite of Landry. That's going to help improve that pass rush, so it's good to see that they attack that, right? And they were able to do that. Now
they again, also sound Danico Autry from Indianapolis as well.
Okay, well there you go. So they're rebuilding that defense to where it needs to be. Now the big thing is, you know, who's manning the defense, for example, because last year, and we talked about this before, Vrabel, you know, wanted to kind of do a committee approach on defense, which was like mind-boggling to me. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. And he ended up hiring Shane Bowman to take over the defense during the offseason, which was the guy who was helping him with play calling last year. So I don't know how much that's going to help or improve the defense, but filling those voids on defense is a big deal to help them get back, you know, where they need to be. I think that's the gap for the Titans to get to the playoffs, maybe get to the championship game or even get into the Super Bowl is that defense. I think Tannehill's capable of leading the charge. You got Derrick Henry.
You think Tannehill's a Super Bowl worthy quarterback?
I'm not saying he's a world-beating quarterback at all, but I think he's capable to get you there. Like, I think that if you have a solid defense and you have the pieces around him, I think that he's capable of getting you there. Now, winning it, I don't know if he's capable of that. It's one thing to get there.
I think he falls into the Joe Flacco category of this dude could have a stretch of games where he goes off.
Yeah, at any moment, and he just playing out of his mind, out of this world. And we've seen that a couple times, and that's all you need. And it happens, you know, at the best times usually with him.
Mm-hmm. Which he does tend to show up late in games. So that is nice. AJ Brown, if he stays healthy this year, he's a human highlight reel. Yeah. He's probably the least talked about young wide receiver in the league, I feel like. Is he a top five wide receiver this year if he can stay healthy? Especially now with Corey Davis out of the picture and Jonnu Smith. Like, they're going to have to rely on this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he could prove it. I think, you know, he has to prove that.
Second half last year, he did prove what he's capable of.
If he can do it without that, you know, the support with a lesser supporting cast, so to speak, I think that that's huge. I don't know. What do you think, Nate? What do you got on that?
I am not, like, he had a hard time staying healthy in the first half of last season. I like his size. I like all of his natural giftings. And I, for all intents and purposes, he's a hard worker.
Josh Reynolds on the opposite side of him.
It is difficult to say there are so many good receivers that I'm not going to take AJ Brown before. Right. So calling him a top five wide receiver, I'm like, I would want Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones.
I'd rather have AJ Brown over Calvin Ridley.
I would take, AJ Brown is like, to me, he's on the cusp.
I think I'm with you guys. Prove it. Like, if he, like, this is his, like, prove it. Show me who you are. But I'd take Mike Evans.
All right. Here. For both of you. Play a name game, borrow it from the Fantasy Focus podcast. Who would you rather have? AJ Brown? I'll throw out some names. AJ Brown, Mike Evans.
Mike Evans.
I'd probably take Brown.
Same. AJ Brown, Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen.
I'd take AJ Brown.
I'm only thinking that because he's 23. He's just dude. He's 6 foot, 220, just a physical.
Last year, man, remember that game towards the end of the year? I think it was Chicago, where he straight up mossed that guy for the game-winning touchdown on that little toss from Tannehill as time expired. Like, it was nothing. The guy is just an absolute freak going up and getting the ball.
I just, you know, I look at the supporting cast that he has right now, and it's like they may need to pick somebody up potentially, or they'll need to expand the receiver room, I think. Maybe a hair here. They need a guy.
DK Metcalf or AJ Brown?
I like AJ Brown, man. The only reason I say that, though, I like Metcalf because of his athleticism. He's a freak, all that stuff. But, like, I feel like Brown is just a more polished receiver, you know?
Where AJ Brown or Allen Robinson?
I like Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson.
Take AJ Brown. Yeah. So, but this is the class of wide receiver we're talking about, though. That's what I feel like he's left out of these conversations. He missed half the year last year, practically. He still got to 1,000 yards, and 11 touchdowns. Yeah. The guy is a true number one wide receiver. And I think this is his coming out party this year. This is the year we see him launch himself into that top tier wide receiver.
I could see him do that. If he does that, this is the moment. Do it now.
They're not letting Corey Davis go without having complete faith in AJ Brown. That's just facts. Jonnu Smith, are the Titans going to miss him here? Corey Davis too. Is this going to throw some wrenches into the offense?
I feel like they're comfortable with Firkser out there. I think that he's adequate enough for them. I don't know. I mean, they also have Jeff Swaim on the roster. I don't know if he's somebody that really throws fear into defenses, but I don't know. I feel they probably will miss Jonnu Smith. And the reason I say that is I see AJ Brown as really their most adequate receiver right now. Like the guy that is going to put fear in defenses, like he's going to shoulder a lot. So I could see his numbers actually go down because he's shouldering so much and defenses will be able to focus more on him. But yeah, somebody else is going to have to step up. Firkser comes to mind at tight end. And
do we see maybe them drafting a wide receiver? Because this is such a deep wide receiver class.
That's where I was going to go. They don't necessarily have to do it in the first round. They could probably find a guy, you know, in later rounds to go after. And, you know, honestly, you want to find somebody who's complementary to what AJ Brown does. So a smaller, faster guy in the late rounds, trying to come up with. If you to be very, very honest with you, that would be probably a pretty sweet pickup for them. To be real. Like I feel like if Tennessee were to pick up a Rondale Moore, that would be as about as complimentary as it gets with AJ Brown, because he's that chess piece. You can move him around. Then you got Derrick Henry out there and it just kind of opens things. Yeah. I could see that. That's a good call. I feel like you called that out already, or we've
discussed. I called this. Tampa Bay. I just see Rondale Moore sliding so perfectly into a playoff contender at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round. Like, it just, he seems like such a crown jewel piece of, like, just to make a team that's right on the precipice being amazing.
Giving Tom Brady Rondale Moore.
How many receivers does Tom need?
Well, no, this the thought process behind when I said that about Rondale Moore to the Bucks is Mike Evans was not the healthiest last year. Godwin's on a one-year deal. Antonio Brown probably not coming back, it looks like, at this point. Like, it's a little thinner there. They got some prospects, though.
I have the Titans taking a corner in the latest mock draft, but
they
need them.
One back.
Yeah. So Northwestern's Greg Newsome, I could see, you know, being a guy that they could go after, but.
Well, again, the Titans, their top three corners walk.
Yeah. So they definitely need to do. They're probably going to go that route is what I'm thinking. And then they could attack receiver in a later round is what
they're kicking the old Janoris Jenkins tire. A lot of teams have kicked this tire. Which one are they going to get? Because one year he'll play amazing, the next year he'll play like a complete dumpster fire.
Yeah, so. I don't know, man. They've got holes. This division's weird to me, man.
Just last year it was arguably the strongest division.
Yeah,
and now we're looking at a possible full rebuild, losing Deshaun Watson. Who knows? Well, that takes. We have the two playoff teams and the Titans and Colts, and then we'll get to the Jaguars in a second. But let's move on to the Colts. This is a good transition. The Colts, if there was ever a team that was a quarterback away, this is it, man. They tried last year to bring in old man Rivers, and, you know, I knew before the season, dude didn't have enough arm left. I've watched Phil his whole career. But, hey, he had a hell of a year because he hadn't been able to stand up that long in the pocket for years. So it revitalized him a little bit. I think that this is what Carson Wentz needed, man.
Yeah,
he's going back home. He's going back to the guy who unlocked him to begin with.
Yeah,
the real offensive genius of that Super Bowl run that we see now. Doug Peterson seemed to be a little bit of a fraud. Carson Wentz, stock up. Is this a Super Bowl team?
I honestly feel like Carson.
Let me go for it.
No, yeah, I honestly feel like Carson Wentz is a guy who situationally needed to be in a spot like this. He's gonna have the best offensive line he's ever had, a solid group of receivers out there. You know, if he can't get it together in this situation, then we know he's never going to get it together. But I just feel like he's just in a good spot right now to where he can clear the mind and become who everybody thought that he could become. But again, situation matters as we lead up to the NFL draft, because a lot of players, it is all about where you land.
I totally agree. My biggest question is which Carson Wentz are we going to see? All of his issues that I see currently are completely mental. So he still has all the physical giftings. He's not making the right reads, and he's not making the right throws. Can he make the passes in the correct windows at the correct moments? That's literally all we need to see. Like, if he is that guy, then yes, absolutely, they are a Super Bowl contender. If he's the guy that was on the Eagles last year and he just doesn't have it mentally, he's broken.
Yeah, I could see Indy definitely leaning on the run game, leaning on their defense, and just kind of like opening things up for Carson Wentz schematically. Just the run game will be huge, I think, for the Colts.
Well, let's talk about the run game. Jonathan Taylor, obviously Marlon Mack is coming back after an ACL tear. He showed a lot of potential throughout the years as a power back, but he's a mauler. He's a guy who's going to fall forward, get you 3 to 4 yards of carry. Jonathan Taylor is the true definition of a home run threat, and we saw the second half of his rookie season. He is the real deal, man. Is this guy going to be a top 10 back in the league? Is he already a top 10 back in the league?
Statistically, last year he was.
I feel like he could be. Again, like, he started to get going second half of the season, so to speak. And he's one of those guys that if the offensive line can get him just enough space to get him to the second level, he's not necessarily a guy creating space, but he's deceptive. Like, he's incredibly fast. He has 4.4 speed, right? It's not deceptive. It's deceptive because you look at him and you say, Wisconsin running back in that big frame. You're like, where's, you know, is he that fast? So
you don't really understand how fast he is until you see him break into that second level.
Right. Get him to the second level of the defense. I think this offensive line is, you know, built for that. And I think, too, he started off bad vision, not enough patience.
He wasn't seeing the holes.
Yeah, he wasn't patient enough.
Very Trent Richardson-esque.
Yeah, you got to let things open up as a running back. You got to have some patience back there, let your blocks set up. And I think that he just needed to allow things to come to him. But I think now, like, year two is where the jump happens for him. You add in Nyheim Hines with Marlon Mack, and you've got a hell of a backfield. Like, we could be talking, you know, we could be competing with the Browns for the, you know, best backfield in the league, right?
Now, fantasy purposes, Jonathan Taylor, he had 11 touchdowns as a rookie. That was good for, I think it was tied for fifth in rushing touchdowns. He was third in rushing yards as a rookie after having a slow start. Do we see a fantasy purpose? Maybe Mac eats into those touchdowns a little bit
at
the goal line? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, yeah, 100%.
In my mind,
I'd be surprised if Mac started. Like, if he was able to find the, you know, himself in the starting spot. But
over Taylor?
No.
I mean, I'm just saying, listen, like, sometimes coaches look at a guy and they say, look, Taylor's the most talented, obviously, but Marlon Mack gives us, you know, more stability in the backfield, so to speak, or he's able to pick up pass protection better, you know, just because he's not a better athlete. Right. Those things matter. So trust me, there's three backs. You'll see a rotation.
But when it comes to Marlon Mack, like, in my mind, he's never really been like a true power back. He has excellent hands, which was my biggest concern about Jonathan Taylor coming out of Wisconsin, is he didn't have great hands like you saw from Melvin Gordon coming out of Wisconsin. Like, that was the one thing where I'm like, I don't know about this guy, because one of the things you have to be able to do to be a top 10 running back in the NFL is you have to be able to catch the ball. You have to be able to be versatile and play receiver. And he wasn't great at that at Wisconsin. Funny thing is, like, he was a significantly better receiver his rookie season than he was his last year at Wisconsin. And
right. And
I think it provides me with confidence watching him go out and play with Phillip Rivers, even in the back half, like, middle games of the seasons, where, like, he might not have been getting the major touches, where, like, Hines was, but at the back end where it really mattered and they needed a guy to go to, it was Jonathan Taylor. That's what I like to see. If he can continue building on that and improving his pass catching ability and route running, I think he is the go-to back, and I think he will be easily a top 10 running back. But that's where my question mark is. Can you catch the ball consistently, and can you run routes well? If the answer to that is yes, then in Frank Reich's offense, no problem. He's definitely the go-to guy.
Yeah, he's working on that. I guarantee that.
Okay. Is Indianapolis going to miss Jacoby Brissett? They let him go 1 year too early. Should they have just taken the hit and signed him that $5 million deal that he got from Miami?
I'm not going to say probably. I don't know, honestly. I think that having a serviceable backup like that is huge. I don't even know who is the backup now. You guys know off the top of your head?
I don't, but here, let me check the roster. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, we know what he was, but to be able to bring in a guy with experience off the bench.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, Jacob Eason. Where did he go to school?
He was at Georgia, transferred from Georgia to Washington.
That's right, Washington. Yeah.
He's 6'6", 227. Yeah, he was a big-time player, you know, coming out of high school. Obviously, at Washington, had his best moments there, and then being drafted, the Colts really like him, and they still really like him. So
yeah, there's maybe that's why they let Jacoby go then. That makes sense.
Yep, that is.
Word. Yep. And I could see him running a Frank Reich offense, too, that little run option, like being skedaddle around the corner if they give you the corner.
Yeah, and Carson Wentz is actually, he can move a bit.
Yeah. Oh, he's a very mobile quarterback. Yeah. He ran for his life in Philly.
Yeah, that's right. So he should be ready.
Here's the thing to look at when it comes to Carson Wentz and in the confidence that the Colts have in him. There are a lot of outs for the Colts in this contract, right? So they're like the first round is conditional. So if he doesn't play a certain percentage of the snaps for the Colts, if the Colts are like, this is not working, like let's keep our first round pick and then we only have to pay a second for this guy. Like,
I think Frank Reich is gonna solve that problem though, because what Frank Reich likes to do with his quarterbacks is, and what he did with Phil, because Phil throws dumb interceptions, he has his whole career, is limiting the amount of bad decisions one can make on a play. He's gonna scheme you open the right pass. And that's what Carson Wentz needs.
I don't disagree with you, Woody. I actually fully agree with you. My question is Carson Wentz too broken to recognize the guy's open? Because on a regular occasion, his first read was open and he just looked him off in Philly this last season. Like he is mentally broken.
I think systematically though, like he'll be able to sometimes, like, I mean, if you think about like your own personal life, like I've worked at X place for a million years. And like, when you start to not care about that place so much, maybe your attention to detail starts to wane a bit. And then you go to the new place and you're like, wow, you're refreshed and you're good to go. I feel like that's where Carson Wentz is probably at mentally, and he's probably comfortable where he is, other than the fact he couldn't get the number he wanted.
Yeah, I mean, the glow up is real. We're going from Gabby Sidibe to Gabrielle Union when we're comparing offensive lines. And if you don't know, that's the girl from Precious to Gabrielle.
Wentz might just fall down, like, from ghost sacks, because he's like, I'm not supposed to stand up for this.
Well, that's a real thing. Does he have the footsteps? Because David Carr was ruined by a couple bad years with the Texans. David Carr was a real quarterback. He could have been the real deal. He literally heard footsteps. That's the thing I worried about Sam Darnold, too. Seeing ghosts out there, that's a real thing, man. You need a coach that's not going to leave you back there to just get mauled.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to get a great shot here, and I feel like the Colts can make the playoffs with him, even if he's not great, and that's because their division sucks.
It's the Titans and the Colts, and we have faith in their defense. What draft prospects, real quick, Brandon, before we jump to the Jaguars? We're running out of time.
Honestly, they need like edge help, linebacker, tackle, corner. They can tackle. Go. Yeah, there's so if you're looking at their offensive line, that might not be the most important spot, but in my mind, it should be. They've got a left tackle position. Sam Tavai, I believe, is the left tackle or projected left tackle at this point. He's been like a lower graded player the last couple years. So when I look at that, I kind of think in my mind, maybe there's a need there that they could fill. But if they don't end up going that route, maybe they could add another receiver, or maybe they add a corner, somebody like, you know, Greg Newsome, if he's still there. That's a guy who I feel like is going to possibly be available near that part of the draft. Samuel Cosmi, the tackle from Texas, is a guy who can flip, you know, from guard to tackle. So those are guys that, you know, I'm confident about. Cosme's a perfect left tackle, by the way, a seasoned guy from the University of Texas, somebody who's really good in pass protection. So just maybe keep an eye on that part, because you definitely want to shore that thing up, right? You don't want...
You don't want to repeat of what happened in Philly.
Right.
But who's their guard? The guy, the pancake machine?
Yeah, they've got Nelson, Glowinski, Kelly is the center. Yeah, I mean, they've got four solid guys, but the offensive line, all it takes is one guy that, like, throws everything off. So make sure that you're solid at all spots, mm-hmm. and that no excuses for Carson.
Jacksonville Jaguars. We're in the beginning stages of a rebuild that doesn't really feel like a rebuild, though, because people have so much faith in Trevor Lawrence. I mean, like, we're going to talk a bunch about Trevor Lawrence in a second. What happens with Gardner Minshew here? It feels like he was kind of disrespected by this coaching staff. This team really rallied behind him. He put up numbers. Is he the most strong-arm quarterback? No. Does he make the best decisions every play? No. But he doesn't turn the ball over. The team rallies behind him. The guy's a player, obviously. And I felt like he was disrespected by the coaching staff last year. Do we just see him fall to the bench until someone kicks the rocks on him and gives him like a Matt Flynn-esque deal in free agency in 2 years? Like the Seahawks did before the Russell Wilson era?
I feel like somebody should. I mean, I don't understand why the Jaguars aren't trying to shop him.
I don't understand why New England hasn't just been like, hey, here's the third round pick.
Yeah, I mean, here's anything. I don't know. I don't read or hear a lot about what's going on with him. Hell, I seen him training on an Instagram video like a week ago, and he was looking good, right? Like, Minshew is, he's actually a decent football player. He's not terrible by any means. I mean, honestly, if I was somebody who was looking for a quarterback and I was trying to decide between Carson Wentz, you know, if I'm the Colts and I'm like, hey, who would I rather have, Gardner Minshew or Carson Wentz? I might even consider Gardner Minshew over Carson Wentz, just as an example, right? Or even if I was, you know, Houston, maybe I consider kicking the tires on Minshew as well. Maybe that's an option. I don't know. There's several teams out there, though, that need a quarterback, right? You've got a number two potentially behind a rookie quarterback that could start for you, right? The Chicago Bears come to mind every single time we talk about quarterback, period. If a team needs a quarterback, it's the Bears, right? So that's a guy I feel like should get an opportunity, and who knows, maybe they're sitting around waiting to move him. Maybe Urban Meyer in the front office is thinking we can move him during the draft or something of that nature. So many different moving parts in that mindset. So who knows? There's just too many damn teams that need a quarterback to have a guy like him on the bench.
Exactly. My thought process is they're just going to keep him locked up because he's basically next to nothing on a rookie deal for 4 years. Why would we trade away a good backup?
That's true, because you never know. Like, exactly. Lawrence, maybe you need to change a pace for Trevor, and you don't, you know, because they're going to throw.
Or maybe this pass rush is just eating against this offensive line for the game. Yeah. We don't want to traumatize Trevor.
Yeah.
Throw the porn stash back there. He's used to getting right.
Yeah, he's like, I can handle this.
Yeah. So, guys, Urban Meyer, he's never been heavily involved in on either side of the ball, but he is a manager of other people. He's seen a lot of success wherever he's gone in college.
That other word you said, too, probably.
Yeah. He's, with Ohio State, most likely. Alex Smith, he made him into a number one overall draft pick and a Heisman Trophy winner. He's made countless heroes in Florida that we can talk about. He led one of the most talented, controversial teams to a championship ever at the University of Florida. Just waiting for that 30 for 30 someday. Hmm. And then he went to Ohio State. His resume speaks for itself in college. And people have been wondering whether he's going to make the jump to the NFL for a long time. And it seemed like he finally got the situation he wanted here in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Is he going to have more success than we've seen from most college coaches? I feel like we're seeing more success now from college coaches than we ever have before. Is it going to transition here?
I feel like the only reason it wouldn't be successful will come down to who he has on staff, for example. And when we look at some of these guys who come from the college game, a lot of them are like, you know, they're not just managers of people, right? They're not the CEO overseeing things. Urban Meyer is more of an NFL coach, you know, coming from the college level than some of these guys who come from the college level who want to be more hands-on. And then when they get into the NFL, more or less, they get into the NFL and they realize, wow, the managerial duties or the oversight of all these different things, you know, I can't be as hands-on with the scheme and all that type of thing. So Urban Meyer, it may be good, but then I have my thoughts about, you know, the college coach coming to the NFL, how they're going to be able to handle actual adults. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a whole different ball game. But then I go back and forth on that and I think, okay, Urban Meyer, a psychology major by trait or by trade. And, you know, that's a guy who uses psychology on players and he talks about it all the time. Like, it's not one size fits all for each player. You have to, you know, manage them all individually, and it's all whatever you're using psychological for X player over here is not going to work necessarily for Y player over here. So a lot of college coaches, they try to use that one size fits all approach, where I think that helps Urban Meyer, where he understands the differences. And let's be real, like, he's coached so many NFL type players at the college level. He understands how to deal with ego. And that's going to be a huge thing at the NFL level. So I go back and forth a little bit though, with how I feel he'll do at the NFL level. But again, like, it'll come down to Trevor Lawrence and how that all pans out early on, and whether or not the staff can develop him.
Nate, how do you feel about Urban having faith in the Detroit Lions wide receiver? He went out and signed Marvin Jones and Jamal Agnew in free agency. They're looking like the ones and twos.
I like Marvin Jones and I like Jamal Agnew.
Agnew showed some flashes last year.
The fact that the Lions couldn't re-sign them probably just means they're smart and they're like, we want out of this shithole.
They've got a decent looking receiver core right now. I like it.
Who else is on their core right now, Brandon?
They got Chark, obviously.
Oh,
on one
Chark
side.
with Jones, I do like.
Yeah,
that.
And then you've got Chenault, who will, you know, be in the slot. So he's kind of like your, you know, your Percy Harvin-esque style player, since we're referring to Urban Meyer. So you've got that guy you can move in and out of the backfield and do some stuff with. And you've got your running back already in place. Yeah. Your offensive line isn't completely, you know, awful, so to speak. Your tackles are questionable, and then tight end. Like, you got to do something there. That's where you're.
And they don't have the worst defense, but they are in a bit of a rebuild on the defensive side. Yeah. They went and snagged Shaq Griffin from the Hawks.
That's big.
That's a big, yeah. He's a great corner, so that's a good stepping stone. But before we move on from the Jaguars, James Robinson, you know, the undrafted guys, it takes at least 2 years for you to trust them, right? You're almost like, is he the guy? Is it the guy? He put up mega numbers last year.
Yeah, he
looked good. Efficient numbers.
He was a receiver. Like, he's a decent receiver. Like, he was showing the ability to be an elite running back in the NFL, obviously, like, out of the gate. And it makes you wonder, like, you know, where were the scouts on this one? This is a complete unknown to me. Like, I didn't hear about this guy a whole lot, and anything I did hear about him was kind of, it wasn't like world beating by any stretch of the imagination. And here you go. And you're always going to have these guys, and there will be another one this year that'll come out of this draft. Who knows who it will be? I can't wait to find out. But yeah, I feel good about him.
So outside of Trevor Lawrence, what direction do we see draft before we go?
Man, they've got they have two first round picks, obviously, and then they have another one literally just outside the first round, and four picks actually within the first 45. So that's huge. So they're probably going to go offensive line, like I just said, the tackle position, solidify that, maybe go Alabama's Alex Leatherwood if he's in that area. But regardless, go that route. That seems very on brand for Urban Meyer to do something of that nature to solidify your offensive line. And then if necessary, obviously you want to solidify your defensive line. Tight end is another position that I could see them working on, but they don't need to do that early in any of these four picks. They're in such a great spot right now. They have like 10 or 11 picks. So they're going to do some damage early on. And what one thing that'll benefit Urban Meyer is his knowledge of college players, especially the top level.
That's true.
Yeah, like his ability to recognize, okay, I already know who this guy is. I've been in his living room with his parents, you know, like, so there's that.
I paid this guy $50,000 to come to Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah. Somehow the church or somebody got like $250,000 donated. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to throw shade, but yeah, definitely.
I am.
You know the coaches don't know anything about that.
No. Never.
Like who? Yeah. I don't know nothing about that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, what do you...
All right, boys. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean...
Nate volunteers to be a bag man for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I mean, does it pay well? Do I get to skim a little off top?
What I hear is they go to jail. Like, I didn't even know that was, like, a jailable offense. Or like, you could be, like... you know, put on trial for some of the stuff that was going on. So tax fraud and evasion and all the wild stuff that's behind
Maybe
that.
Maybe I'm not in this anymore.
So if you want to, Nate.
All right, boys, that is going to wrap up this episode of the Five Tool Sports Podcast. As always, please check out our sister site, Football Scout 365, where you can get all the draft know what's, how to's, who's, and breakdowns before the draft next month. We got a lot of draft content planned. That's why we're cranking out the last two divisions next week. We're going to do two divisions. We're going to do the AFC West and the NFC West all in one show. So tune in. You're not going to want to miss that. Check us out on our socials at the number 5 Tool Sports Podcast and then the number 5 Tool Sports Podcast.com. Also check out footballscout365.com and Brandon's YouTube channel, Football Scout 365. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. For me, Nate, and Brandon, see ya.
Peace. My mama says you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be wise.